This is a Hockey RPF SGA crossover notfic. Written and read by
Fish Patrol,
Hannah Nobira,
The 24th Key,
and Rena Jenkins.
So this started with an email exchange between Fish Patrol and myself, in which he compared Hooker Johnny to Hooker John. So, yeah. Then, this happened. Oh my god, has there been an SGA AU yet? No? Why? I need this in my life. Or, like, a crossover. Johnny could be a marine dude who gets incredibly annoyed by Shepard because determination and seriousness and leadership. And Kana would be... I don't even know what Kana would be, but I'm tempted to say a scientist of some sort, because then he'd be under Rodney's supervision and then boom, instant hilarity. And then they can start an Atlantis Hockey League. Everything is beautiful and nothing hurts, etc., etc. And then, we took everything to Twitter and dragged Hannah Nobira and Rena Jenkins into this madness with us.
Oh my god, the thought of Kaner working under Rodney's supervision, oh my god. So much yes to Atlantis Hockey League.
What? Oh my god. What fabulousness is this?
I was just saying that there needs to be a hockey/SGA crossover, so Marine Johnny can be all bitchy McJudgy face at Shepard, and, I don't know, Kana works under Rodney because reasons of hilarity? Someone needs to write this for us.
OMG. Who do I need to promise sexual favors to make this happen?
That's what I'd like to know.
Gino's the alien that they brought home from a destroyed world. That does not understand their insane Earth ways?
Key smash! Yes!
And Sid would beg Elizabeth to be allowed to keep Gino on his gate team because love at first sight! The Russians would be the survivors of Gino's planet, and they're all super awesome and kick butt with staves.
Oh my god, you guys! Why doesn't this already exist? The not-Russians are from planet RU5514, am I right?
Side note, RU5514 kind of looks like Russia if you write it out.
And Captain Taves is totally the team leader of SGA-19.
Yes!
And Patrick would never learn not to hit on the alien priestesses.
Lolling forever. How many times do you think he and Johnny got accidentally married on alien planets?
Can't! Even! So Johnny has to bail him out of jail, / rescue him from engagement every other week.
So, like, Marine Johnny makes sense. But how the heck does Patrick manage to get to Atlantis? Either way, I'll bet he finds and downs all of Zelenka's stash of homebrewed moonshine, made with the help of the not-Russians, of course. Then he's never allowed down in the labs again. The Atlantis equivalent of getting kicked out of a bar.
Also, the not-Russians try to matchmake and take them to the sex pollen planet! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. I just want Ovechkin to go, wait, sex pollen planet? Thought was trading partner. Forget address. Sorry. But he's really not sorry at all. And it takes everyone a while to notice they're on the sex pollen planet because Kaner always acts that way.
What does Ronan think about these dudes? Does he get into a silent stare-off with Johnny? Does he win? What if they started jogging together? Will both of them eventually collapse in exhaustion after 20 loops around Atlantis because neither of them will stop before the other does?
Yes! They stare at each other for a few very tense moments, and then Rodney and Kaner start screaming and accusing each other of trying to blow up the city. And now Ronan and Johnny just avoid being in the same room with each other. But let's be real. Ronan would totally win.
The very idea of Rodney and Kaner screaming at each other is brain-breakingly awesome.
But what is Kaner a scientist of? Please tell me it's botany.
Or worse, that he's in social sciences.
Maybe he's an anthropologist. Tra-la-la-la-la. I guess he could be an engineer, like in that one fic, where he's an engineer.
What if he's a counselor?
Kate Heitmeyer's associate? Or her trainee? Tra-la-la-la-la.
Yes, because his uncle's high up in the SGC and just needed to get him off the planet.
If he's an anthropologist, well, obviously he'd have to spend lots of time with the not-Russians.
By spend time with, read, get totally plastered in the name of research and interplanetary goodwill.
He's very curious about their culture. And a lot of their culture has to do with alcohol. It's practically a religious experience. Or at least, that's what Kaner tells Carson when he's asking for aspirin, or possibly euthanasia, the morning after.
But even though he is a horrible human being, he has an amazingly strong gene, so Rodney has to put up with him in the labs testing out ancient devices.
John has to teach him to fly the puddle jumpers! John is jealous of how much jumper number 3, BB, likes Kaner.
Yes! And John gets all pouty and passive-aggressive for weeks, the time they let Patrick use the chair.
It's John's chair! He finally got the cushion dents just right after the last time the Genii tried to invade Atlantis. And now some punk-ass kid is going to come along and ruin all John's butt's hard work? Obviously, John is less than pleased with this arrangement. It has nothing to do with being possessive of Atlantis's affections, Elizabeth.
But I'm the only one allowed to make dumb comments just to rile Rodney into frothing rage. John and Patrick get into a dumb-off to see who can have the stupidest hair and drawl the most infuriatingly moronic comment in a staff meeting.
No one notices!
John keeps making cracks about Patrick's hair, but no one else is laughing with him.
Rodney spends a horrifying 15 minutes thinking that John is actually asking Kaner for styling tips.
A lab accident results in the untimely death of the mullet. Rodney has no idea why Johnny stops him in the hall, says, "Thank you," and walks off.
Who knew the ATA gene could make that particular paperweight shoot fire like a super soaker anyway?
All right, let's talk about the Atlantis Hockey League. Obviously, Kaner gets the idea when the not-Russians tell them about this game they used to play, which sounds a lot like hockey. No one knows who bribed whom with what to get them gear to Atlantis, but they all have their suspicions. There is some dispute over one team hogging all of the Star Clones, but it evens out eventually.
So, all the other hockey players are Marines, right? And in Atlantis, D-A-D-A means don't ask, don't tell about the strange explosions on level 52? Because they really enjoy their training, okay?
I know nothing of these hockey players you speak of. I'm strictly here for the SGA. Pinky swear. They're all Marines, except for the one that's kind of an ambassador from the not-Russians. Which one is that again?
Well, all right, except for the not-Russians.
I like the not-Russians. They know how to have a good time. Ronan likes to smuggle some of their liquor home with him after trading missions. It's always in demand on Atlantis's black market. Once, he traded a flaskful to one of the newer recruits for an entire chocolate bar. Ronan doesn't care for the stuff the way some of the Earthers do, but Rodney was a lot nicer to him that week.
Yes, Ronan and the not-Russians are kindred souls. They teach him the parts of their language he needs to mock Rodney, John, Kaner, and Taser.
And people think Ronan's just a barbarian with muscles on top of his muscles. Ronan's cultured. At least, he's cultured enough to call you an idiot in 5 different languages.
And then Rodney and Kaner keep hearing them say, mumble, 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 Kaner, mumble, 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 Rodney, mumble, mumble, ha, 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 ha.
Taylor overhears too, and she smacks Ronan hard on the shoulder. But she doesn't tell him to stop.
So Rodney and Kaner try some of the old-fashioned NHL pranks on the not-Russians, but they stop pretty quick when a pissed-off Sergei says, give bag back now. The not-Russians get their revenge. They tell Kaner that Pegasus women find mullets devastatingly sexy.
Is that why he started growing it out? When does he realize they're lying?
He never does. He mourns the loss of his beautiful mullet until the day he dies.
Atlantis Expedition Log, Anthro Department. Today I learned that the mullet has intergalactic sex appeal. But it's for science! I don't care what McKay says, the Anthro Department is to science. Now, hold still. I don't want to cut your ear with this. And tell me if you score on your next away mission. Does Atlantis even have a barber? Or do the Marines have to cut their own hair?
Probably wasn't high on their list of priorities, so for a while, everyone walks around with terrible haircuts, until someone gets irritated enough to take over.
I don't know enough about these hockey players, but make one of them the barber. The one with the worst hair! And he can inadvertently spread terrible follicular affliction through all of John's Marines. And when Stargate Command sends a high-ranking mucky-muck to come inspect Atlantis, they just think it's the trickle-down effect of John's own dew.
Trust me, no one in their right mind would let Kaner near their hair. It has racing stripes for speed.
That is the most terrible thing I've ever seen all day. It's going to give me nightmares.
Pretty accurate reaction to anything, Kaner. Really.
Oh, but how about Ovechkin, of the not-Russians, declares himself barber and fucks with everyone by giving them hilarious cuts and then saying they were traditional on their planet.
Yes, I like this. And Elizabeth's like, don't complain. After all, they're the ones who supply the alcohol I'm sure I know nothing about at last month's Harvest Festival. Everyone knows traditional just means, let's see how ridiculous we can make these off-worlders look. But, well, any mission to visit the not-Russians ends with the gate team shrunk off their ass, so...
One of you needs to tell me how Johnny and Kaner actually meet, though. Probably when Patrick gets put on Johnny's gate team because of his gene. A decision everyone pretends to regret, but to be honest, everyone's just glad they don't have to deal with Kaner themselves. Oh, and Sharpie! Sharpie doesn't care if you're senior staff or an alien ambassador. He will show you pictures of his baby girl for an hour, and you will like it. Speaking of family, Patrick just really misses his sisters, you guys. And until he can bug someone into somehow setting up a Skype connection for him, he writes them a lot of letters that no one can bring themselves to censor. And Broshy! Okay, so TJ is this dude Johnny met on some sort of military exchange program, I don't know. And then they both get to go to Atlantis, and they're bros, and Kaner is not jealous at all, okay? I mean, why would he be, right?
It's just a coincidence that he and Taser end up married on the next three planets they visit. And he really wasn't trying to sell Oshi to those slave traders, really.
Like, geez, dudes, it was just a cultural misunderstanding. Stop looking at Kaner like that.
But because Kaner's still in denial, he also ramps up with a hitting on alien priestesses. Once the team finally escapes from her enraged uncles with guns, he and Johnny have a screaming match in the middle of the gate room, and Kaner's like, what? So you're allowed to make goo-goo eyes at floozies, but I'm not? And Johnny's all, huh? and has no idea what Kaner's talking about, because TJ's not what one would typically call a floozy.
And no one knows whether to be impressed or to despair in the face of this much combined obliviousness.
He's not in denial, he's doing science! The intergalactic sex appeal of the mullet must be quantified.
They all end up in the infirmary with dehydration after a video game competition gets intense. Taylor tries to teach Johnny and Patrick meditation techniques to deal with their obvious anger management issues. It goes poorly. That teleporter still smells of pudding, and a sentient species of mussels declares war on humanity. Patrick is totally in denial about this, but it turns him on when Johnny shouts orders in the field. Doesn't take long for Johnny to notice, though. Then Patrick notices Johnny noticing. And if he has to flirt with alien princesses to get Johnny's attention sometimes, he's just doing what must be done for team unity. And hot sex.
And that's all they wrote. If you'd like some extra feelings, headcanon, general flailing and incoherence, please see the original chat log, which you can find in this Podfix AO3 post. Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed it.